Hi, I'm Abby. I'm a mom and a writer.
Hi, I'm Melanie. I'm a mom and a writer.
Hi, I'm Jenny. I'm a mom and a book coach.
Welcome to Mom Writes, where we aren't slick, we aren't fancy, but we are real. This podcast is all about our coaching journey, writing a book from start to finish. It's real life writing, done at the kitchen table or in our spare 15 minutes between work and school pickup. This is how we get it done. It's the dirty laundry behind writing with kids. If you're interested in more information about Author Accelerator and the same coaching program we use, visit Jenny's website at www.authoraccelerator.com.
Welcome back to Mom Writes, where today we talk about adulting and how I, Abby Matthews, was the ultimate adult the week we recorded this. I mean, adulting is hard and pretty much stinks like 99% of the time. I mean, the 1% that it doesn't stink is when you go to buy wine. But when we recorded this, I guess I had had a streak where I pretty much had it together. I know our house went on the market that week and I basically turned into a zero fun cleaning machine. But all that adulting really did a number on my writing. I am writing for middle grade's kids, after all, and it's hard to get into the middle school brain when you're a 24/7 drill sergeant. Of course, Jenny's like, duh, whatever's going on in your life is going to affect your writing. So I guess the moral of the story is, when you write for kids, maybe you shouldn't try so hard to be an adult. That's my new excuse, but join us today as we talk about author intrusion and time looping. We're back on Mom Writes, but this time I, Abby Matthews, am in the hot seat.
You're so the sacrificial rabbit.
I'm the sacrificial rabbit this time.
I never get put in the hot seat, which is why this is so delightful.
Everyone else gets roasted. Well, Jenny, the thing that you said about my work this time that I thought was kind of interesting, because I know you said it was kind of half good and it was half bad. I did some good things. I did some things that I needed to work on. Like I let a lot of adult voice creep in to my writing this time. And yeah. You said, well, probably because you're stressed and you're moving and all the things, but you did the work. So like, yay for doing it. And I started thinking, yeah, that's exactly why I let the adult voice creep through, is because I have spent the last 3 weeks being the adult. And right. I'm like not just kind of being an adult, but like having to totally suppress every bit of fun in my personality in order to get the big done so we can move.
Yeah.
I'm like, no one can play with toys. I'm like, I'm sorry, you can't live in your room. You can't sit on your bed. You can't do any of those things. This house can't look like anyone lives here. And I have been so spun up trying to make the house look perfect that I have allowed no one to have fun. And so
you've been the most adult.
All the fun has been sucked out of my life. I've been total hashtag adulting. And so that totally crept into my writing. And I didn't even realize it until you said it. And I was like, well, yeah, that's why. Because
newsflash, you know, like as your life goes, your writing goes, right?
That's true.
You can't get away from it, sadly. But no. I mean, it's not bad that, you know, you just go through and snip that stuff out, I think. Snip out that adult stuff.
Yeah, that stuff is actually super easy to change. Like it feels super easy to change. Like we were talking about Mel last episode with some of the logic holes. So it was funny because you pointed out a logic hole that I had where they have their first kiss. Bernadette and Logan have their first kiss. The mom like walks in on it and catches them, which is mortifying, which is sort of based on, apparently my dad used to see me kissing boys who brought me home. Like he'd peek outside the window and he would see it and be like, ah.
It's such a dad thing to do.
I think once he took a picture of it, and then he had the picture printed, and he just laid it on the kitchen table for me to find. So I would know that he knew, but he never had to say anything to me. So, but anyway, so the mom catches him and like breaks up the party, which, hello, that's such a mom thing to do, right? But then you pointed out, well, the whole next chapter is Logan going to Bernadette's house. Like, why would the mom let him go the next day if she won't even let them finish kissing? Why would she let him go to his house, her house, like, unsupervised the next
day? Yeah, I was confused about that, and yeah. I had sex on my brain from reading all the YA sex, and I was like, they're going to totally have sex if she lets them be in the house together.
No, because they're
13.
Thinking that yet. Let's hope.
They barely even know what it is. Well, cross your fingers.
Here's the funny thing that I... So, that... Kind of glossing over that was the mom in me glossing over me writing for kids, because I almost wrote this section where they talked about the fact that her dad's not there and they were going to have to lie to Logan's mom and say that, like, the dad was there, so she would let him come over. But I didn't want to, like, sound like I was signing on to being a liar. Like, I didn't want to give kids permission to lie, when really it wasn't like, oh, let's lie to your mom so that we can be alone and we can kiss, which is what a kid would be thinking. It was more like, well, if your mom finds out my dad's not there, she's not going to take me home. She's not going to drop me off at my house. She's going to start to investigate. She didn't see Chitty Chitty Bang Bang Fly. She's not going to believe us that book characters come and go. She's not going to be able to help us find my dad. That's the conversation that I think needs to be inserted. Like, originally when I was writing it, I thought, well, I should just bring up that they have to lie about the empty house and lie about the dad. But it needs to go further. Like, they need to have that whole chain of events, because if the mom found out, that would be horrible. Like, that would be the worst. Well, exactly.
And that's what she's living in fear of, is somebody really... I mean, Logan is the only one so far that really knows, but... She's lived in fear of somebody kind of looking too hard at their life for a really long time. So that would make sense that she would be worried that his mom, you know, would ask too many questions. Or, you know, one thing that you can do in that situation is have one of them lie, one of the two kids lie, and the other one say, like, have them acknowledge it. And then the other one say, like, you just lied to my mom, or you just lied to your mom, or, you know, whatever, like, that's not cool. And then they could say, but, well, then I guess that's worse if they're making an excuse.
But I think the other piece of this puzzle is, and we talked about it a little bit with Mel, I don't know what to harp on too much, because I don't want to destroy the pacing in the book. Because like Mel, I feel like I've gotten to a point in my story where things just need to start happening. And they need to happen a little bit faster. And
totally.
You know what this reminds me of? Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
This reminds me of this, and these conversations that they may or may not have about lying to the mom, you know? Mm-hmm. So I saw, it reminds me of two things. It reminds me of Stranger Things and It, and I'll tell you why. Because these are a bunch of kids that are about the same age, okay? And they do talk about consequences, but it's like rapid fire stuff, because they don't have time to make real decisions about it, because things are moving so fast. You're like, you're just lied to my mom. Oh my God. Oh well, not flippant like that, you know, but I'm just, what I'm saying is, like, yeah, point it out, but it doesn't have to be a thing because there's so much else going on.
That's just like the tricky thing that I think writing for kids, being a mom, wanting to relate to kids, but also not encourage them to do terrible things like lie to their parents. I mean, so I'm like,
the reason why they're lying is not like a terrible reason, though.
Well, it's not like a realistic reason either, because I mean, no kid is really going to have to lie because their dad disappeared into a book. I mean, but because I placed the whole kissing thing where I placed it, maybe I need to put the kissing thing off, because I sort of planted this idea that they kissed. Now they're going to be alone in this house with this tension. I mean, as much sexual tension as you get in middle school. But I don't want that to be like the focus of my book either. But is that going to be what kids are thinking? Like, well, I would totally be kissing him because nobody's around to stop us.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about this now. I'm looking at the next chapter now.
Well, her dad's missing. Is she really going to be thinking about kissing all that much too?
She's thinking about all of the things because that's what middle school kids do. Their brains go like boom, 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 boom. And they feel like all the emotions simultaneously.
And everything God, it's the worst.
So how do you work all of that in and balance it and make it like realistic?
I mean, I feel like you're doing it. Okay. I think it's good. She pings around for sure, like thinking about Logan, thinking about the embarrassing mom thing that just happened, trying to find her dad, like, what are we going to do? But just have that logic question in your head too. Like when they go to his house to watch the movie, like they're not just doing that because, ooh, we get to sit down and watch a movie together.
Like they're actually like they're doing looking for the dad.
Yeah. And that was the bigger question for me was, why didn't they just page through the books?
So she did kind of page through the books, but not, I mean, his name is actually, he's a minor character. So she's paged through the wrong books, I think is what's happened. And she's
a. So then Logan suggests, well, we're tired. Let's just go watch this movie.
Yes.
You don't have to page through another book.
Yes, because that's the biggest, fattest of all the books sitting there.
Right.
He's like, because he's also got ulterior motives on his mind. I mean, they're both thinking about, like, I mean, who doesn't want when you're in middle school? That was the thing. That was like where everybody did the kissing, was at the movies. I mean, Mel, you're looking at me funny. Did you go to middle school just like me? That's where people do the kissing.
My adolescence was a lot less exciting than yours.
I didn't do the kissing in middle school. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nope. I did all the kissing in middle school. It was sad. I loved all the kissing in middle school.
Then you are the perfect person to write this. I could not.
Well, it happens at the movie theater. That's where it happens when you're in middle school. So
shoot, I'll remember that.
Yeah. Watch your kids, people, when they go to the movies a lot. That's why they're going.
I think you do a beautiful job with the kiss, actually. You have, as we've said before, just a gift for being in their heads, and it's really great. I would just watch the logic of what they're doing, what they think they're doing. In terms of, so how do you get somebody out of a book?
So they're going to read him out. But the trick is you have to read them out of the last place that they're mentioned in the book. Because otherwise,
it's
rude to interrupt them in the middle of their story. It's just like an adult conversation. It's rude to interrupt adults in the middle of their conversations. So they have to get to the end before they read him out. Like it's whatever the last line is. But the dad's going to know that. The dad's going to have all those pages memorized. Like he's going to know the last page that Amelia Bedelia's on because he calls her out every single day. So he would just open the book and call her out.
But wouldn't the books have like a little...
a dog ear?
Yeah.
Well, I can dog ear the books. But she wouldn't know what that was.
She wouldn't know what it meant. But if they have to, if they're figuring it out, we, it's kind of like what we just talked about last episode with Mel, where we need to feel a little more the angst. Like, she made her dad go away. She doesn't know how to get him back. She's desperately trying to do this. So, she, you know, when Logan comes, it could be like, I've looked through these whole books. I can't find his name. I don't know. You know, I don't know what to do. And then they, when they find the book that he's in, trying to read all the things, like, they have a little more desperation. Like, I don't know what to do. You know, I've read the first time they mention him, I've read all these pages. Like, what am I supposed to do? And, you know, then perhaps somebody notices that dog ear or a little bookmark or a piece of string or a thread or something.
Do they have to read it aloud?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, that's what I imagine. They open it up, they read the last line, and then, you know, boom.
Or does it happen by accident the first time, and then they figure out that's what happens?
Well, I had thought, what if they accidentally let a different character out when they're reading?
I think that's exactly right.
And maybe that character, they could explain it to them.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Oh, there you go.
You're, like, accidentally reading, I don't know, like, Jonathan Livingston Seagull or whoever out of the book. And then, well, they're like, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, well,
this. There's bound to be a character. And this is where I have to go back and see. This is where the search function on a Kindle comes in handy, because you find a character and you pull up every time that they've been mentioned and you go to the last time that they're mentioned. And I just have to find someone who the last time they were mentioned is ahead of the last time John Thorpe is mentioned. So that's the first person that they read out. Oh. I mean, no kid is going to go back and check my facts on this. So as long as it's just someone who's mentioned last before John Thorpe, as they're reading their way through the book, because the way I have it set up now, the part that I've been writing, you know, this week, is the two of them sitting and reading the book out loud to each other, taking turns and going back and forth. And so they'll read somebody else out first, and then they'll figure it out.
But again, just keep that idea of they're desperate and they're trying and they're, and, you know, frustrated. And yeah, it's exciting for them to be together and for them to have connected and all of that. But that overlying sense of, you know, she's frantic, and she's frantic that nobody finds out that she's living alone in this house, you know, and not going to school, right?
Well, maybe I need to have, like, Claire's mother come knock at the door, Claire come knock at the door, somebody after Logan drops her off, somebody comes and she has to hide it, and she starts to get more and more panicked that she can't find dad.
Totally. I think it's the same thing, that you got it all, you know, it's like the wind up toy. It's all wound up. Now you've got to let it go. Like, let happen what you've set up, you know, the screws put down. And yeah, Claire and her mom and people from the school and Logan's mom, like have the vultures be circling. Because it's just awesome, and it's really sad and scary, and she's, you know, she's gonna, same thing we were talking about with Mel, like, your character's gonna realize all the implications of everything right in this part of the story.
So because we only have a few minutes, and my question that you had brought up before that we sort of didn't talk about with Mel last episode, but that I like to ask you about here now, is the time looping. So what do you do if, I guess, the places where I was sort of time looping, I think what I thought I was doing was having her just reflect back on the last few minutes that had happened so that I didn't have to do it in real time and go through.
Yeah, that's just not okay.
That's not okay. Okay.
Yeah, so there's the time loop is, I mean, we could talk for days about this because it's a super common thing people do. And you just described it really well, where you're in story present, and then you loop back to explain something, or you loop back just a couple minutes or just a couple beats back in time to explain something, and then you move forward in story present. And it's usually always something you're telling the reader that you really should show the reader. And if you don't want to have a whole scene, it's okay, but you need to keep it in that straight chronology and not do that little looping back thing. So I'm trying to find an example. Well,
I think the example was actually the same one that you used when we were doing Mel's episode, last episode, where they got caught kissing. Then the mom takes her home and she basically is like, oh, I was really glad that I had left all the lights on previously because it makes it look like my dad's home, sort of thing. And then it sort of like bumps forward, and then she sort of remembers something else again, and it bumps back.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So Mrs. Brock finds them kissing, flips the lights on, says, maybe it's time to take Bernadette home. She takes them home. Bernadette is now home, and Bernadette is saying, conveniently, leaving all the lights on made it look as if her father was home and Mrs. Brock didn't ask any questions. Mrs. Brock had driven Bernadette home with the promise that Lo could ride her bike back in the morning. Like, that's looping back because we're at the house, and then she's looping back to explain the ride home and explain the mom's thinking. And then it's like two sentences, and then they're back to story present. And
just that little bit is like the loop. And I don't even think I realized I had done it until you pointed it out, because I thought it was a shortcut. I think that's what I thought, that it was a shortcut to moving the story faster.
Yeah, it's just always mentioning. It's always. Yeah, so sorry to interrupt. I know I do that. I think it's because there's like a tiny lag and I think you're not talking. it's always the writer trying to get away with something, right? So in this case, you know, like to your point, what are you going to say? We got in the car, you know, we drove, the light turned green, the gas pedal was pushed. Like, what are you going to do, you know?
So you just have like a little short scene where she says, like, I think you pointed out, well, you could have her sort of giggle and harp on the lovebirds, sort of embarrass them a little. But I could put that information in and it could just be, it doesn't even have to be like a chapter, right? Can't it be a scene within?
Oh, it doesn't even have to be. It can just be, doesn't have to be a big deal at all.
Mel's raising her hand.
Logan can ride your bike back in the morning as long as you don't stay too long, Logan.
Oh, something like that as she drops them off.
Yeah, just like a throwaway thing, right? Can you do totally. That? Yeah.
But you have to always think, why am I paying any attention to this? What is the point of this to the story? What do we need to know? Is it just a logistic thing? Is it a time and space breadcrumb? Or is it something of meaning? If it's something of meaning, it needs to actually be on the page. If it's just a breadcrumb of time and space, you know, we just need to know where we are. So it's, you've got to decide and have it be one or the other. But the looping back in time is always a bad idea. And it usually always has to do with time and space. It's very weird. It's very consistent that way. Mm-hmm. And it usually just has to do with flipping it, like just putting the car ride before she arrives home, which is in fact where it belongs.
What we would do.
Yeah.
Writing this down.
Okay.
Okay. We all pause. So, well, good. I mean, I know Jenny's pressed for time today, so that's probably, I mean, this was an all craft, all the time episode.
For sure.
Just to prove that I don't always have the whole adulting thing down, I'm going to give you a totally honest outro. So here we go. Join us again next week when I have no idea what we will be talking about because I haven't downloaded the file yet. I can just promise you that it has to do with writing and parenting. Melanie will probably be sick. I will probably be stressed out about moving, and someone will write something that doesn't exactly work, but Jenny will help us fix it. Now, excuse me while I go pick up my car that I had towed to the wrong mechanic. See you next week.